Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
You see, God's blessing was given to us as it was to David. David said, now I'm going to bless you. I'm going to end up offering to you all that I have, all that I am. I'm doing it willingly, and I'm going to do it with worship. He says it this way in verse 20, and they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 17. This New Testament passage in Acts 17 gives us an overview of how God works in the hearts and lives of people. And out of the Old Testament, we'll be looking at passage 1 Chronicles 29 to illustrate that. Acts 17 gives us Paul's declaring of how God, as a shepherd, guides really the whole world in an overview. Let's read out loud verse 22 to 28. Paul's addressing the men there in Athens in Greece, and this is his view as God sees and knows the world. Let's read verse 22 through 28. Ready? Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar which this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And he's made of one blood of all nations, for men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for as we are also his offspring." And what Paul was saying here is that God, who's the creator, the ruler, and the giver of life, from the very beginning of that first man, the blood of all nations being Adam, he says, he's determined in verse 26. Another way to say this is, one translation says, "For one man he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and which should fall. And he determined how much property they would own." And it's a great day when you realize God owns all, he controls all. And a day in which we're going to look at in 1 Chronicles 29 is an illustration that God controls all. You say, well, Pastor, there's so many bad things that happen in our world. You can blame that on the prince of the power of the air. But God is the ruler of all. God is our shepherd, and he does control our lives, wants to be our shepherd for every human on earth. That's a choice that each and every person has. The passage that we read in Acts 17, the point of all that was that he will guide and control and direct as he has in the past, he will in the future, all that goes on. And as his children, someday all will recognize that he is that shepherd and that guide. As you look back on man's history, it is true that when you look at it from a biblical worldview, that every nation God gave to them, the times of their habitation, where they lived, how much land they had, and what they were going to do, that God's going to orchestrate all that together for his good. When you look at life from God's perspective, then it gives a great comfort to us, even as he is our shepherd. Because there was another dynasty, a young shepherd boy that God raised up, and his name was David. And he raised by God into a level of leadership and coordinated all these fighting going on in these tribes and brought them under one rule, his rule, and for 40 years dominated Israel. And at the end of this particular life of David now, overruling for 40 years, he took charge at 30 years old. For 40 years he rules, he makes this land his land because it was God's land. He had this city called Jerusalem that became his capital, God's city. And this is the spot that David now at 70 years old is standing here, and he's got this property. He had his presence of God called the tabernacle, and he was wanting to build something for God. His work. And I think it's very appropriate for us today to take just a moment and look at what was that prayer that David now is praying, saying, "This is yours, God, and you have given me the privilege to be able to gather all the resources together." And look at 1 Chronicles 28, because I think it'd be worth making note. This time period was so significant. This is what God had. And the place that God was working in is the place that you want to be. And for you and I today to realize that God does want to work through us as he did with David. If he didn't, he wouldn't have given us his scripture today. What is the genuine response that we should have as God's people when God begins a work? These are the three thoughts. Notice, if you would, in his prayer, verse 10, that first of all, when David, he says, verse 10, David blessed the Lord. He praised the Lord. He honored him. He saluted the Lord by, number one, he was willing to give to the Lord. How do you bless the Lord? How do you end up praying when God begins a work? As David's pattern is, it says to us, first of all, we've got to have a willingness, as David did, to give to the Lord. Number two, notice the second emphasis. When there's a dedication of God's work, there's, number two, a worshiping of him very freely. Notice when David goes on in his prayer, he says in verse 20, "Now David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God," and all the congregation. You see, God's blessing was given to us as it was to David. David said, "Now I'm going to bless you. I'm going to end up offering to you all that I have, all that I am. I'm doing it willingly, and I'm going to do it with worship." He says it this way in verse 20, "And they bowed their heads, and they worshiped the Lord and the king." You say, "Well, Pastor, are they worshiping the king?" No, what they're doing is they're worshiping the Lord. They are recognizing God's almighty position, and they're also recognizing the king's authority. They're recognizing, "God, you're the almighty one. This is how you're going to speak through us and to us, and we willingly offer to you everything we have, and we offer to you our worship to you." But we also recognize, "God, you are going to work through the authority of men," which happened to be at this point David. And you know why David was so great? David was so great because David recognized that simple point from way back when he was a teenager, 16, 17 years old, as that young shepherd there in the fields, recognized, "God, you put me in this role and responsibility. You'll give me the strength to protect that sheep." And David became that illustration who Jesus himself is, that great shepherd of the sheep. That's why the response that we have is one of great worship. And notice thirdly, he also mentions that we wisely are planning for the future. Because when their dedication to this property and this building that has now all the resources gathered, that they, as David, expressed this for the people, that they began wisely planning for the future. Notice verse 22, "And they did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, the king, the second time." He had been recognized the first time. They had some domestic problems, revolts, and ultimately God put his hand on Solomon, the son of David. And notice verse 23, "Then Solomon sat by the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father. All prospered. All Israel obeyed him. All the princes, the mighty men, all the sons likewise of King David, submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And they were magnified as God magnified Solomon. In other words, very simply, David had planned for the future and said, listen, this is what God, as we're dedicating ourselves to him, that God, we have your mandate. We know this is from you. You gave me these plans. And so therefore, I am preparing and planning for the future. And David, who's leading with courage and following with character. Now, you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with me today? I'll tell you what it has to do with you and me today. Anytime we see God working in our life, we need to have a genuine response. God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. God, I'm going to worship you. And God, I'm going to try and wisely plan to see how you can continue to use in the future. That's why, as parents, you're investing in your children. That's why, as a church, when we say, God, we want your presence in our midst. Now, this is a day and a dispensation in which God worked, much different than he is today. This is nowhere near what we're talking about, a temple, as it was God's genuine plan, which, by the way, in history, you will know that the one location in the world today in which all the world sees as a constant conflict is still the city of Jerusalem. Is that just like coincidence? It just happens to still be Jerusalem? No, it's not. Because you have 20 other nations that are committed to the destruction of one little country called Israel. You know what the great conflict is in Jerusalem? Everybody wants that piece of property. The very property that we're reading in 1 Chronicles 29 at 971 B.C., almost 1,000 years before Christ, this exact property. You think that's just like, well, man, isn't that interesting? It just happens coincidentally that God documented this. I don't think so. No more than a coincidence that God does things in your life. Do you see God in your life like every day? Do you think there's just accidents that happen? That's why Paul in Acts 17 said, God in heaven is the one that's controlling the habitations, the boundaries of every country. And he's the one that said, is there so that you would seek him. You know what God's in the business of doing right now? Wanting people to seek him. That's what he wants for you today. You might be here, and you have no personal assurance that if you died today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. You know why Christ came to this earth? To fulfill all of Scripture. And that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of all of known truth, because he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. He came to this world to save a people that needed a Savior. He's fulfillment of all of Scripture and all of man's desire. I trust and pray that today, as your heart, if it's not a willing, worshipful, and wisely planning for the future, then you've got to say, what am I going to do with my future? That's how it is for you and me to say, God, I need to plan for the future. You've given me a plan. It's so very clear that the Scriptures are clear that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. That when I humbly admit to him, God, I can't save myself. You came to save me. You're the fulfillment of all the Scripture. You have given me that sacrifice, and I repent, I turn from my way, and I trust you. I take you as my Savior. He says, he promises, I'll give you that assurance of salvation.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.